Welcome. My name is Peter Udall. I'm the business officer with the Navigators. I live in Colorado Springs. The topic of our workshop is Scripture Memory. I titled it A New Way of Thinking, How Scripture Memory Can Impact Your Walk with God. I probably should have stuck in there a word, how Scripture Memory Can Profoundly Impact Your Walk with God. One of my favorite passages is that Hosea 6:3 passage there about let us know, let us press on to know the Lord. That's part of the reason behind Scripture Memory. Before we get started here, who would be willing to pray for me and us in this session? Can I get a volunteer? Debbie volunteered. This is my wife, Debbie, by the way. So thank you, Debbie.
Father, thank you so much for this time together. Thank you that you are here with us. Lord, we are so grateful for your word. Lord, I pray that you would just help us all to learn what we need from this time together and how to get your word deep into our hearts. Thank you so much. Give Peter real wisdom and your words to say. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, I want to give some context first. And maybe for those that this is the first time, I just don't know what your exposures are yet to these discipleship conferences and events and where you are in the discipleship process. But many of you will be familiar with what's called the word hand. And it has to do with how do you get the scriptures into your heart? You know, and there's the idea that, you know, the little finger is what, for those of you who know?
Hearing.
A great way to get the scriptures into your heart and into your life. And probably the predominant way that most people do it. They listen to messages. They turn on the radio. But maybe they don't go beyond that. The second finger is reading, another great way. More retention, more involvement. The third one is
study.
Yeah, a lot more intentionality there. The fourth one, which we're going to focus on today, is memorize. Yeah, retention gets pretty good when you memorize, and if you stick with it. And then the thumb, which is where all the application comes from. Yeah, that's where you get the grip. But for the context, we're going to be focusing on scripture memory. The context is we want to become men and women of the Word. We want to be able to have the Scriptures in our lives in a way that profoundly impact us and help our walk with God. Scripture memory, I want us to think of it not as just another thing for your do list. We all have plenty of do lists, but as in an exercise routine, if you try to exercise or you know I'm supposed to exercise or anything like that where you've got a discipline, when you come to the spiritual disciplines, scripture memory is a real key one. And sometimes people don't think of it as a key one, but it really is. Lauren Sanney was president of the Navigators for 30 years. I remember when I came on staff, May 1982, I remember going to our new staff training at Glen Eyrie. And what do you think the president of the Navigators would talk to all these new staff that are coming on board? He said, guys, are you having quiet times? Are you memorizing the scriptures? You know, there's nothing complicated about this. It's the basics. And I remember Debbie and I was so motivated by that. And I said, honey, let's go home and recommit ourselves to the basics. And I was struggling with my scripture memory discipline at that time. And so we had this pattern where I would take my verse pack, and we covenanted that we couldn't go to bed at night until we reviewed our verses. And so there'd be a verse pack on our pillow over our bed. It's like, uh-oh, if I got into the end of the day and I hadn't reviewed my verses, we got to do that before we can go to bed. And it just was just a simple little application like that. And, you know, I haven't practiced that particular application for the last 30 years, but I think we did that for 1 or 2 years where there was this little reminder on our pillow at night. If I hadn't gotten to it, I can't go to sleep till at least to review a few of my verses. And there's just something about that discipline that would really help us in our walk with the Lord. And in our time today, this is going to be a little more devotional, motivational, and I want to talk about a lot of practical things. It's not a guilt trip. It's how do we help ourselves develop and grow in this discipline that will really impact us. Lauren Sanney said, of all the ways of getting the scripture into my heart and mind, scripture memory has been the most powerful.
Amen.
And that's what motivates me, is I do believe that scripture memory is the most powerful way of engaging with the scriptures in a way that will transform your heart, your actions, and things like that. So I need a prop. I'm just going to grab a water bottle here. I'd like you all to focus your sight on this water bottle. And when you get to the point where you can no longer think of water bottle, you've totally purged the idea of a water bottle from your mind, just raise your head. But I don't want you to take your eyes off of this. So raise your hand when you can no longer think of a water bottle. And I think I'm going to wait a while. I've done this at other times. I've had people raise their hands. I go, get out of here. You're lying. So, but I got a truthful group here today, so that's good. One of the principles that excites me the most about scripture memory, and it comes from 2 Corinthians 10, 3-5. I'm going to tie it to that water bottle in a minute. It says, "For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God." And here's the key point. "We take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ." The idea of taking every thought captive to be obedient to Christ. And how do you deal with issues in your life? Maybe you have a propensity to anger. Maybe you have a temptation to pornography, particularly men or guys. You know, when you're alone, no one's watching, and you go on the web. Or you're in a hotel room and you're traveling, you just can't turn those wrong channels off. What if it's impatience with a child? You've got a child that just knows how to push your buttons. And you end up reacting in ways that you didn't want to react. Or you got a colleague. You've got a boss that is just the hardest person to work with. And you, over time, develop resentments. Or it could be anything. How do you change your thinking? How do you take your thoughts captive? It's not by saying, "I won't do this, I won't do this, I won't do this." That tends to be the practice. It has to do with substitution. And that's what I love about scripture memory. It's a redirection. Some of you came in late. I was being asked questions about the fire that came so close to Glen Eyrie. It did come close. We had the fire burned within a couple hundred feet of the castle and of our office buildings. We lost some buildings at our camp. Had 100 or 200 acres hard burned on our property. If you hike up the canyon by the castle, there was a rainfall a couple weeks after the fire. The staff said for the first time in the canyon, they'd never heard this before, it sounded like a bowling alley. So the rain's rolling, and so now all the debris is raining down into the canyon, trees, rocks, boulders. I walked up there the next day, and there's mudslides and rock slides 4 or 5 feet deep across the roads. And I was looking up where these mud and rocks came from. And before, it had just been a rock-filled gully coming down the side. And now that gully was washed clean, and you know, everything had come down and flushed it all out. And so you had these alluvial fans of mud and rock and stuff. And where I'm going with this is, when I talk about how do you change your thoughts and how do you change your mind, on how do you change reaction patterns, it's like when a rain falls, you know, and it starts to create a gully. This is not an original concept to me. I'm going to give each of you a little booklet called Changing Your Thought Patterns by George Sanchet. He has this imagery that when it rains, you get these little rivers coming. And if it rains harder, it becomes a gully. And the deeper it gets, the more things rush through it. And that's what it is with our thought patterns. And so a farmer, I hear the ranchers, when they get gullies going, they throw tires in, they throw branches and things. They try to dam it. And that is one way of doing it. But it's not just damming it. You've got to redirect it. It doesn't work by just saying, "I won't do it. I want to change my life. I'm not going to. That's why diets don't work for most people. They just, you know, it just doesn't. How do you change behaviors? When I was a college student, I had a friend tell me a story. I think it was an acquaintance of his, but they were out doing, sharing their faith in the public, just cold, what we call cold turkey evangelism. And one of the people they talked to was a woman, and she invited them to come back to her apartment at another date to talk more. And so the guy was going to go back, and he thought, you know, I'm going to a woman's place. I think I'm going to bring a friend with me. I'm not sure what's going on here. He went back to her place, and they knocked on the door, and she answered the door expecting him, and she was totally naked. And then she was embarrassed because now there were two guys there, not just the one guy that she was trying to bring back. She got dressed, they went and they talked with her, and she opened up and talked. She goes, I hate myself. You know, my mother was like this, and I told myself I'm never going to be like my mother. And it was an illustration of why, you know, kids who resent things in their parents or a sibling, they go, I'm never going to be like them. And they make these unbiblical promises in their lives. They create these ways of thinking. And what they say they don't want to be, they end up becoming. You know, the acorn doesn't fall far from the tree. And it's an illustration of how profoundly hard it is to really change things in our lives. I remember another one story. College student, a guy, he went to the library, he's studying. He's sitting at one of the big tables that like 8 or 10 people can sit at. And so he's studying, and to get comfortable, he kicks off his shoes. And so he's studying. Across from him is a girl he doesn't know. And all of a sudden, she's kicked off her shoes, and she runs her toe up the arch of his foot. And he's going, what do I do? And so he's sitting there thinking, what do I do? And he remembers 2 Timothy 2:22 that he'd committed to memory. Flee youthful lusts. And he thought, I know what to do. He picked up his books and he ran all the way back to his dorm. And he said, flee youthful lusts. Pick up his book, run all the way back to my dorm. So that's the power of scripture memory. It gives you a tool beyond saying, I don't want to do this, I don't want to do this. It gives you a dam to change those behaviors in your life. It gives you a way to redirect your thinking. That's why we talk so much about Christ-likeness, about what does it mean to become like Christ. It's not trying to not be something. It's a redirection of your thinking. You're doomed to failure, or the probability of failure is very high. If you resort only to, I'm not going to, I'm not going to. You've got to redirect. And that's why God's word is so powerful. I've got all these college stories. People who know me now are surprised by this story. But when I was younger, I was an obnoxious practical joker. I just could not play jokes. Even to the point of some things got out of control and I got visited by the police. And, you know, I was like, I remember one time I pulled this practical joke on a friend, and he was so mad, he just jumped up and he punched me in the arm really hard. He says, you doll, you'd be an okay guy if it wasn't for all your stupid jokes. And he did it very publicly, so it was humiliating, but he began to grieve me. I thought, I've got a pattern here that's out of control. And in one of my quiet times, I came across a passage, and I memorized it. And it changed my life. Also, marrying my wife changed my life. So she told me, I brought that pattern into our marriage. And she looked at me really early on. She said, honey, I want to love you. And in order for me to love you, I need to trust you. And if you're always playing jokes, I don't know when I can trust you. And so, but here's the passage. Proverbs 26. 8 and 9, it says, like a wild man that throws firebrands, arrows, and death is the man who deceives his neighbor and says, I was only joking. And I came across that passage, it was like, that is the passage for me. And I memorized that passage, and it reined me in. It checked me. It redirected me. It was great. That plus my wife saying, honey, I want to trust you. And I need to know when I can trust you. So, but I'm just giving samples, stories, examples of why scripture memory is so important. Particularly us guys, it really even has a profound impact on our subconscious when you're starting to lay the scriptures up in your mind. See, to me, the reason why scripture memory is so powerful, perhaps the most powerful way that you can put the scriptures into your life and to impact you, is that it makes your heart and your mind available to the Holy Spirit. If you're in life and in circumstances, if you're in challenging situations or you're wrestling with decisions, the more scripture you have in your mind, which is from God, it's God's word, it's powerful. He draws on that and brings it to you as a resource. So to me, scripture memory is one way that we make ourselves more available to the Holy Spirit, even to the point that it affects our subconscious minds. I can remember in my early adulthood, I'd get frustrated about my dream life. I have dreams that I wasn't proud of. And I think, God, I can't control my dreams. Those just things just happen. In my early discipleship, as I was laying up God's word in my life, one day it dawned on me, you know, I have not had one of those dreams in a year or more, where it used to be a regular pattern. And I thought, you know, God, that's your word. You are changing my thought patterns, even my subconscious. And that's what I love about the scriptures, is that it has the ability to even change the subconscious. And I credit that change to God's word. It's God's word at work in my heart, changing those things. One of my buddies used to work in a nursing home. He told a story about a retired pastor. He says the guy could not complete a sentence to save his life. He just didn't have the mental capacity. But all that ever spilled out of his mouth was portions of verses and hymns. As opposed to other patients in there, that is, their ability to control their tongue faded away, just became foul-mouthed and terrible. And the things that would come out of them would be awful. Debbie and I are dealing not to that degree, but we have a... Deb's mom is in a facility near us, and as she's aging, it's harder and harder, and she does not know the Lord, and we keep trying to share with her in the Lord, but, you know, there's times where you just realize they're becoming more childlike in their behavior, and as a result, more belligerent. And what's in the heart, what they've had the adult capacity to restrain, they no longer have the ability to restrain. And you have to see hard things come out. My prayer, I say, Lord, I want to lay up your script. I want to be like that pastor. Maybe I can't say a sentence straight, but Lord, would what come out of my heart when I'm old be the things of you, because of what you've done in my heart and life, and not the old man, not the old woman. I have one other thing. I'm rambling on here on why scripture memory. We had a neighbor one time who was an airline pilot. I remember going over to their house. He'd come back from work. He carries that black, very brick-looking suitcase. It's probably different now with technology, but 10, 15 years ago, they all had their manuals. They all sit on a shelf over their seat when, you know, the captain, the co-captain, all the materials are there. It's got procedures for the equipment they're flying, has everything imaginable. Every airport they have to land in, there's maps of the landing. And he would like weekly get updates to his notebook. He'd have to open it, change out the pages, familiarize himself. If they've done something, there's construction in one airport or there's a new lighting configuration. And their responsibility is to know that stuff, to know it really well. And as well as they know it, it sits on a rack above their plane when they're flying. Now let me ask you, what kind of pilot do you want flying your plane when an emergency rises? Do you want him to jump up and say, "Boy, I know it's in there. Let me just find it quick." You want a pilot flying your plane who's got those procedures and those situations and those configurations memorized. They know it. And it's critical to being a good pilot for that reason. And it's critical to you as a man or woman of God to have that same mentality. This is not a reference text. This is God's word that can profoundly change us. And it makes us available to the Holy Spirit to enter into our lives when we lay it up. As you can tell, I got a passion for Scripture memory. I love it. It is my favorite form of getting the Word into our lives. And it's my hope that by sharing and talking on some of these things, you embrace some of those same things yourself. And you may, I'm sure many of you are there already, but in case you aren't, hopefully you're getting a glimmer for why it's so important. If you look on your handout, the goal is to learn how to develop a passion for memorizing God's Word with practical tools and encouragement that create patterns of success in this important spiritual discipline. In our desire to be men and women of the Word, Scripture memory can be one of the most potent ways of allowing the Holy Spirit to have access to our minds, to our hearts, and to our actions. I want to talk about some of these motives here. You've got 13 lines here, and I'm going to give 13 passages of Scripture, and we got 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12. I'm 13. Okay, there's 13 of us in the room. Good number. I'm going to have you write a reference, and you don't have to write them all down. I'm going to assign a reference to each of you. Debbie, why don't you take Proverbs 6:21, and Jeff, you got Jeremiah 15:16, Jerry, Romans 12:2. Jeanine, yes, Psalm 119, 165. Psalm 119, 165. Jim, you're Philippians 4:8. Noble, you're Matthew 4:4. Myrna, 2 Timothy 2:15. Austin, thank you. Austin, Joshua 1:8. David, Luke 24:27. Pam, was it Pam?
Yes.
Ephesians 6:19 and 20. Mike, Hebrews 4:12. And Lisa, Psalm 119, 9 and 11. And I'm going to do Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9. All right. Now, each of those verses has a benefit. So I'd like to go around and have you read that verse that I assigned to you and tell me what you think the benefit is from getting God's Word into your life that that passage addresses. As people share them again, if you want to jot those verses down, when you quote your verse, give the reference again, and then on each line you can write that reference, and then we're going to put in there what the benefit is. So Debbie, we had you starting with Proverbs 6:21.
Proverbs 6:21, bind them always on your heart, fasten them around your neck.
It's talking about the Scriptures.
I think the benefit would be to have them nearby at all times.
Yes. Okay, but I agree. I'm going somewhere with this, so I'm going to agree with whatever you say the benefit is. But I'm also going to plant another word in there. So it binds God's Word on your heart. So the exposure you get here is it binds God's Word on your heart. Jeremiah 15:16.
Your words were found, and I ate them, and your words became to me a joy and the delight of my heart. Joy and delight of our heart.
Joy and delight of my heart. And what I liked about that is that it says, I ate them. So God's Word, I agree with you. The phrase I'm going to also propose is spiritual food. So God's Word is spiritual food. Jerry, Romans 12:2. The preference? That was Jeremiah 15:16. Yes, interrupt at any time and ask questions. And this is interactive. I tend to keep running at the mouth, so go ahead and make it as interactive as you'd like. Romans 12:2, Jerry.
Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and prove what God's will is.
Okay. Romans 12:2.
And the benefit there is the renewing of
your mind. You know, that's exactly the phrase I'm looking for, too. Renews your mind. Psalm 119, 165 was the next one.
Great peace have they who love your law, and nothing can make them stumble. Peace and guidance.
Yes, peace in my life. That's the benefit of God's Word when it's in you, peace in your life. Philippians 4:8.
finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. To me, the key word there is think, meditate, and then praiseworthy. God will be able to give us praise for our thought life being what He wants it to be.
Right. I mean, that's one of your primary redirection passages, and you think about that. What do you focus your mind on? My little phrase for you is victorious thoughts. Victorious thoughts. The kind of thinking that is so uplifting and builds us up and draws us to God. All right, Matthew 4:4. Oh, I'm sorry. I stuck you on that one. Sorry.
Matthew 4:4. Jesus answered, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." And that's, I believe, where we find our true life, is from God.
Yes, yes. And the phrase I like to give you in this one is, it's Jesus' example. Here's Jesus in the wilderness. He's out there for 40 days. He's probably in a near-death condition because of the lack of food. And Satan comes to tempt him. And on each of those three temptations, he starts by saying what? It is written. I don't think he was carrying a scroll with him. He had the stuff memorized. And all throughout his ministry, he's always quoting scriptures. And so for us, why memorize scripture? Jesus' example. We want to be like Christ. All right, 2 Timothy 2:15.
Be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. So to be approved of God.
Approved of God.
We have to be diligent, and we have to accurately handle the word of God.
Someone who's skilled at their craft is a good workman. So the phrase here is a workman not ashamed. You're a workman who's not ashamed. Are you a doctor? Do you stay on top? Are you a pilot who knows the manuals and can fly with good skill? Are you an accountant who knows how all the rules and the numbers? Are you an athlete who is able to perform at their peak? A workman not ashamed. Joshua 1:8.
This book of the law will not depart from your mouth, and you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success.
So what's the benefit you see there from the scriptures?
Not only are you acting it out and doing it, but it leads to prosperity and success, and I would also call it, it's the way that God defines prosperity and success.
Yes. Yes, that's a good definition. Here's a visual. Here's the coin we're all going to be working toward. But it's a prosperous and successful. That's what you want to be. All right, Luke 24:27.
Then beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted for them the things concerning himself in all the scriptures.
Luke 24:27. Beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them all that was said in the scriptures concerning himself. This is Jesus. So what the scriptures do is it helps you know the Lord. I can know the Lord. Ephesians 6:19-20.
Pray also for me that the message may be given to me when I open my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel. For this I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I might be bold enough in him to to speak as I should. So I would say the message here is to embolden to speak the mystery of the gospel. Mm-hmm.
The scriptures enable you to boldly speak the message. The scriptures give us confidence. One of the things in scripture memory, we encourage word perfect, whatever translation you work with. But this, it's the idea of skill and confidence. When you know that you're confident, you're able to speak boldly. And it's amazing the authority that comes through when you are able to speak with confidence from the scriptures. Oh, it's written somewhere. You know, God helps those who help themselves. Yeah, that's right. No. But when you know the scriptures, it just gives you an authority, and it's God's word, and that authority comes through you with that knowledge and that workmanship that you have as you have it stored up well. All right, Hebrews 4:12.
For the word of God is living and active, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing as far as division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Rejoice that it's acting and living. I would say it gives us the ability to judge the heart.
Gives the ability to judge. Yep, that's true. And the phrase I'd like to give you from that passage is offensive weapon. The scriptures give you a weapon for fighting off Satan and for the temptations in life. It's an offensive weapon. Psalm 119, 9-11.
How can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. The benefit of that is to always have His word in your heart.
Mm-hmm. And when you have it in your heart, it changes the way you think. So the phrase here is, it changes your desires, changes my desires. God's word, when it's in my heart, changes my desires. Now we're down to the last one, which was Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9. I'll read that one. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. And he goes on to talk about impressing them to your children and tie them on your hands and on your forehead and mark it on your doors and basically live a life in a way that shows that you are immersed in the scriptures. And so here the issue is God has commanded. What's the role of the scriptures in our life? It's to immerse ourselves in it. We had friends that were building a house one time. Maybe you've done this or you've had friends that do it. And they said, before the drywall comes up, we're going to have our house prayed over in blessings. And we went over to the house and they gave everyone permanent magic markers. And they sent them throughout the house to write their favorite passages of scriptures and to do prayers of blessings. And so all the studs in this house had all the people writing verses on it and praying over the house and asking for blessing on the family and those who occupied it. And then they sheetrocked the house and finished it. Isn't that a fun thing? And maybe you've done that, maybe you've heard of that. But I think of, you know, writing it on the lintels of your door and on your house. All right, now I'm going to do something that I'm not very good at. I'm going to wrap up this little exercise on motives by giving you a little memory thing to help you memorize these things. You see down the right-hand corner of that page, what does it say in the faint ink there? 12 days of Christmas. So what has the 12 days of Christmas got to do with these 13 passages and phrases? Well, if you've got kids, if you've got grandkids, or if you just want to have fun with some friends, I'm going to help you learn the 13 motivations for memorizing God's Word. Okay? And it's sung to the 12 days of Christmas. Well, go back to the motives page, B. And down in the bottom right-hand corner, I just put the little word 12 days of Christmas in the bottom right-hand corner. Now, Debbie, I need you to stand up here and hold this because I'm actually going to perform. And I don't do this very often. Now, this is not me, but This is a fun thing. You can do this at your Christmas party, maybe, or you can do it with your kids. But I want you to, I'm going to give you a visual to help remember the 13 reasons for memorizing God's Word. Now, I'm not going to go through it one and then another. I'm going to start with the 13. So, my 13th motivation for memorizing God's Word, God has commanded, changes my desires, offensive weapon, I can know the Lord, prosperous and successful, workman not ashamed, Jesus example, victorious thoughts, peace in my life renews my mind, spiritual food, and it binds God's word on my heart. All right. So, if you want to have fun, all right, you see, there's a physical action. All right, I'll sing it again. All right, Debbie, hold it up here for me. I'm going to do it again. We'll do it one more time. I missed one. Boldly. Oh, I did. Thank you. So part of it is the physical actions that go with this. Okay. My 13th motivation for memorizing God's Word, God has commanded, changes my desires, offensive weapon, boldly speak my message, I can know the Lord, prosperous and successful, workman not ashamed, Jesus example, victorious thoughts, peace in my life renews my mind, spiritual food, and it binds God's word on my heart. All right. It takes a lot to get me to perform. Yeah, that's true. I was performing the jokes. I think it was attention getting for an insecurities probably is mostly what it was. But you learn those things as you grow, and God helps change your thinking.
Well, now you bless us.
Yes. I'm on to page 3 here. I want to talk about just basic methods. I've got to get down to the practicals now. Out in the bookstore, let me ask, how many of you have gone through the topical memory system? Okay. There's nothing magical in this. The word is called mnemonics, M-E-N-E-M-O-N-I-C-S. It's the science or the discipline of memory. What facilitates memory? The topical memory system, the basic premise behind it is if you memorize scriptures, also memorize with it a topic. And also always memorize the reference that goes with it. And there's just something about the human brain that is able to recall far more when you've done a topical way of memorizing things in your mind. In sixth grade, Mr. Fritz was my sixth grade teacher. Science was his specialty. Every day we had to take a drill to learn the basic multiplication, division, subtraction rules. So, you know, like 9 times 9 is, 8 times 9 is, 7 times 9. He'd have them all jumbled up. But his goal was, you're going to take these tests every day, and I don't care when you pass, but by the time sixth grade's done, you need to pass it and do them all in 3 minutes. And he'd pass out the tests, and you know, the smart kids got them done quick, but you know, months into the year, there were still kids working on it. He wanted us to memorize those basic math formulas. And when you get those down, you got them for life, and they serve you well. And there's just mnemonics that go along with it. Some people think, I can't memorize. How many of you can quote your social security number? Yes, and how many of you know the number of your street address? And how many of you can remember the street address of the prior 2 or 3 or 4 homes you lived in? And how many of you know your spouse's phone number or your work phone number? Or, you know, we naturally will remember things that are practical to our life, that are part of our routines. And the idea of mnemonics, of attaching topics and practicing the discipline of the reference when you memorize it, will incredibly increase your ability to do recall. What I'm going to go through on the methods here is just a couple of words. If you were to get the topical memory system, I think most of these comments are in there. Some of them may be additional. But when you're reading through the scriptures, when God impresses upon you a really important passage, one of the things you can do is say, you know, I'm going to memorize this. I want to store this one up. I want this to change my thought patterns. I want the Holy Spirit to use this in my future when the circumstances come up. Part of it is understanding the context of the verse. You can also pull verses out of terrible context. It may be speaking to you because of a particular phrase or something that stands out to you, and that may be a fine application. But when you're memorizing your verse, that first C is context. It's a good practice and discipline to make sure you understand the context of a passage, and you want drawing a... What you want to do is, you don't want to memorize a passage that you become enthusiastic about and are exhorting other people to follow, when really it might be just a personal application for you. You know, that insight might have been fine from that passage, but before you get all preachy about it or excited about influencing others, if it's out of context, you don't want to be misusing the scriptures. And so I don't dispute that God spoke to you that way, but make sure you understand the context. And if you're going to, you know, memorize it in the right context so you aren't misapplying it. The T is the topic. Have a topic. And with that topical memory system there, they've given you two verses per topic, and it's all, you don't have to think about it. Somebody's done the thinking, they've done a pretty good job. And it just gives you this whole repertoire of topics and verses that get you going. There's, I think, 60 verses in one of the packs and 72 in the other. The R is reference. And literally, when you're memorizing a verse, what you want to do is you want to say the reference first, then you quote the passage, and then say the reference at the end. And there's something about bookending that discipline by quoting the reference at the beginning and the end that helps lock it in your mind. It's like you don't memorize that and use that passage without also that reference coming up. And that's wonderful, because then, you know, wherever you are, it gives you this ability to fly through the scriptures. You don't need your Bible, actually. But even when you do have it, the authority, the ability to properly handle God's word, to navigate through it, to apply it to situations, when you've got those references down, it's significant. It really helps. We had an exhibit at Glen Eyrie the last 2 weeks. It was a traveling museum called The Bible Through History. They had original first edition prints of the King James Bible. They had scrolls. They had fragments of the Dead Sea Scrolls. These were all on display in the King James Hall, in the Great Hall. And they were saying how to write an Old Testament scroll, they had to sacrifice 70 sheep to get the skins. So it cost the lives of 70 sheep just to get enough skin to do the scrolls. And then you're looking at these scrolls. They had these scrolls all rolled out. And there's not a single chapter or reference number in those. Those didn't come about until like the 1500s. And so we don't have the benefit. They memorized these things without all those things years ago. I'm rambling. But, you know, how do you memorize a passage of Scripture? It's really, the P is phrase by phrase. You just start with a passage, and you repeat the phrase, you repeat it again, you repeat it again, you say it 3, 4, 5, 10 times. And when you got it down, so it's like, John 3:16, for God so loved the world. That he gave his only begotten Son. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That whosoever believeth in him. And that's literally, there's nothing magic about it. It's just that, repeat it phrase by phrase until you've got it down. And it does take focus. This isn't something you say, I'll memorize one phrase today and the second phrase next week. You know, you want to do this in a session. Commit a passage in a session. Take the 10 minutes or whatever it takes to to do that phrase by phrase memorization to anchor it down. The M is for multiple senses. What I mean by multiple senses is speak it out loud. Speak it out loud. Then write it out by hand. It's really interesting. If you memorize something and you're speaking it out loud, you're looking at it, you're speaking it, and you say, okay, I got it down. I finally got it down. Now close the Bible, pull out a piece of paper and write it out. And you know what? It's harder. It's like, well, I can speak it. But when I go to write it, then you start saying, well, did I leave out that word? Did I leave out that phrase? And then there's listening. But just any way you can use multiple senses in your scripture memory. You know, if you're trying to memorize it and you're just doing it silently to yourself, that's hard. So now you speak it out loud. Okay, now I speak it out loud. Now I write it out. Now I listen to it. The more you can use multiple senses, it's just a mnemonic tool. It helps anchor it in your mind. Yes?
I don't know if music comes to play in here at all, but the way I learned when I was a kid, the books of the Bible was through a crazy little thing.
Yes.
And it kind of went over and over and over, but it kind of worked.
Yes, and I sang a song for you today. On the motivations. Yeah. There's all kinds of fun tools like that. And to me, you just make it a game. It's fun. It's an adventure. R is the review. And by review, it's review, review, review. I'd like you to flip over to the next page. I want to put a couple things there. It says, a corporate training film teaches that if a new procedure can be practiced without failure for 37 consecutive days, then it becomes harder to forget the new routine than to remember it. It's the top of page 4. So in the business world, if you've got a process or a procedure and you're training people, and this is maybe more of a rote thing, maybe a rote process or procedure, but if you do it 37 consecutive days, it then becomes harder to forget the new routine than to remember it. So when you memorize a scripture, the issue isn't, I got it memorized, got it done, move on to something else. You want to be reviewing that verse daily for a month or more. You're just getting the pattern. I'm going to review it daily. I had the little verse pack on my pillow. I couldn't go to bed until I reviewed my verses. There's another little chart there. This is from Professor Herman Ebbinghaus. On the right-hand side, you can see the importance of repetition in the memory process. A message read or heard several times a day for 8 days is virtually memorized. At the end of 30 days, the memory still retains 90% of that message. However, the dotted line, a message read or heard only once is 66% forgotten within the 24 hours and is practically out of mind in 30 days. So if you want to go home and sing my 13 motivations for memorizing God's Word every morning for the next month, you probably have it for the rest of your life. But that's the importance of repetition. In Scripture memory, I think I would relate it to the message that Stacy was giving us this morning. It's not quantity. It's not how many you can pack in there. You know, I would build quality and good success patterns in the verses you do commit. You know, the goal isn't to be who's got the most. The goal is to pack away scriptures that will change your life and help you as you're helping other people. O is organization. That's the topical thing. You know, if you get the topical memory system, you'll have something there that guides you. Let's say you decide I'm going to memorize 2 verses a week. And the 60 verses in there. Well, there's 30 weeks. There's over half a year there. You're busy. You can keep yourself busy with that. You've got all those topics laid up there. Very beneficial. There's a couple of programs. One deals with Christian living and basic doctrine issues. The other one is called life issues. You know, it's character things. Anger, love, suffering, different things like that. Just gives you different topics. What I'd like to do is, if you go to my handout, pages 5 to 7, I want to talk about developing a lifetime pattern of scripture memory. You know, is the goal just to memorize 60 verses and then you're done and they're your backbone for the rest of your life? That's fantastic if you do that. But I'd like to encourage us to think of scripture memory as a lifetime discipline. I want you and me to be in our wheelchairs in that nursing home babbling scriptures, even if we can't complete them. But you need a plan. I remember when I memorized the topical memory system, the guy who was discipling me said, when you're done, give me a call because I want to test you on those 60 passages. And then I want to sit down with you and I want to talk to you about scripture memory for a lifetime. Because if you don't have a plan, you'll stall out after those 60. And he says, I want to give you a plan for a lifetime. And so when I finished the topical memory system, I sat down with him and he just, it was the same issue. He says, you need a topical structure that you can be filing these passages in for the rest of your life. And this is where, when you're going into a lifetime of memorizing scripture, you're going to have, it's going to be personally unique to you. We all think differently. We all categorize things different in our minds. We all have different makeups and learning styles. But what I wanted to do, if you'll go to page 6, this is one that I've developed for myself. And I'm sharing this with you just as a template. I'm not saying that this is the outline you should use for yourself. But whenever I come across a passage of scripture that I want to memorize, I try to figure out, now, what's the topic I should be associating with this? Because it's going to help me in recall in the future. And I basically have this outline. This is my outline for categorizing verses. And so I just park those verses with those topics. Those are the topics I assign to them. So the first one says Pax. Pax is like beginning with Christ, going on with Christ, the topical memory system. These are structured outlines of topics that other people have done that I find very beneficial. And in fact, the ones that are listed there and the rest of the handout, I've given those to you. So it's just a resource tool. If the Pax speaks to you and you like it, it's all thought out for you. You don't have to come up with the topics. If it doesn't speak to you, that's fine. They're just ideas and options for you. Bible study. This is an interesting one. One of my friends has committed to memorizing the key verse, what he views as the key verse for all 66 books in the Bible. And so he's got 66 passages. And you say, well, what's Jeremiah about? He'll quote a verse from Jeremiah that he thinks best summarizes the content of Jeremiah. You ask him that for Colossians or Matthew or Philippians. He's got a passage. And it's just amazing. You sit with this person and he's got more awareness and knowledge of the scriptures than most theologians and seminarians because of that discipline of in his time in the scriptures and the word and doing Bible study, he said, what's the key verse? What's the key verse that really captures the most essence of this book? And he's got 66 verses memorized, and you'd think he was a world Bible scholar. He's memorized 66 verses. He's done Bible study. The other thing he does is he works up a simple outline for every book, and he memorizes it. And so he's in addition to his key verse, he's got a key outline. Now, this isn't something you do overnight. This is something that as you're walking with the Lord and as you continue to spend time in the Scriptures, it's part of your memory program. And it helps you become the skilled workman. And it's amazing how God will use that and enable you to minister to others and improve your knowledge of the scriptures.
I'm curious if you've ever felt led to memorize whole chapters. So what
do you have? I have. I've not kept up on the review. So what happens is if you do the review, if you do it well enough the first time through, even if you don't keep up with the review, it comes back pretty fast. I've memorized Philippians and James and the first 8 chapters of Romans, and I can't quote them to you right now because I've not kept up on it. But if I get to a season where I say, I want to refresh that, it's only a fraction of the effort from the first time you did it. Now, if I was super disciplined, you know, there was a guy I admired who was a Marine pilot, Bob Lewis. This guy was so regimented to the hilt, you know, and he would review. He would go on 10-mile runs every day and review extensive passages. You know, he was on his way to memorizing the whole New Testament. And he had the discipline of a Marine to do it. Most of us don't live life that way. And so to me, scripture memory is a pleasure that I revisit again and again throughout life. And there's seasons when I'm strong in the discipline, and there's seasons when I return to the discipline. And so the goal of this study is not to say, if you want that Marine day in and day out, you're not up to muster. No, it's a pleasurable discipline that we revisit again and again. And there's seasons where it's strong, and there's seasons when we revisit it. But I have memorized. We had a couple in our Bible study. He told their kids, you're not getting your driver's license until you memorize a book of the Bible. And that was their key to getting their driver's license. And the issue was, I'll memorize it with you. And so with each of his three kids, I think he did James, Philippians, and Galatians. And as each of their kids came up and they wanted their driver's permit, their goal was to memorize one of these New Testament books. And Dad was going to do it with me.
And in the Old Testament, that was their education system.
Yeah, sure.
Kids had to memorize large passages of the Bible. Hmm. I wanted to ask you a question on the APACS, non-topical memory system. Do the NAVs have a course for each of those topics now?
Well, you know, the one that you see, walking in victory, growing in faith, growing in love, excuses, God's promises, God's words, those were packs that the NAV Press and the Navigators produced in the past. They're no longer available. I bought them all up when they came out decades ago. And what you have in this handout is the references and the topics repeated. But they're not printed. You're going to have to handwrite them out yourself or print them on your cards. Yes, it does.
I mean, probably everybody knows this, but my husband does them on the computer and he puts in the little business card and that's why I'll.
All right, we're getting down to the practical things here. So, I got my little verse box where I keep my verses in. My verse cards used to wear out. And so then I began to laminate them. And this. They've lasted decades now that I laminated them, but that's a lot of work. I'm not asking you to do that. I'm just showing you things that I tended to do. Now, as I've gotten older, my vision doesn't work so well with those little cards, so I've graduated to bigger ones. And I print them on 3x5 Rolodex cards. So that I've got one of these Rolodex wheels, you know, and so then I, with the little tabs, and so then I can just pull out my sections. So you're not going to review all your verses every day, especially when you start to memorize more. But once you've done that month of reviewing every day, and now that passage is anchored, now you only have to review it every once in a while. And it's amazing. It's there. If you stop reviewing it, okay, the Bible app that's available that you can download, it's out there. We've just released this in the last year or two. There's still some things that you pick a translation, but some of us like to memorize in different translations. And so this application, once you pick a translation, the whole series is in that translation. And so we need to improve the app so that you can, if you want to memorize something in NIV and something else in New American Standard or ESV, it'd be nice to be able to choose the translation verse by verse. It's called VerseMinder, and if you go out to the book table, we're giving it to you free as a download, and you just have to download it to your app, and they can tell you at the book table how to do that.
Do you have any plans to let you input your own memory address?
I think those are improvements. You know, it needs to be. I downloaded it, and I thought, well, it's helpful, but it needs to become more helpful. And yes.
I learned this by experience. I memorize the first 60 verses with my eyes closed, and then when I get up in front of a group, I had to close my eyes.
No.
So I had to go back and re-memorize.
Okay.
Those verses with my eyes open. So I always tell my people.
It's funny how our brains work. You know, and that's why the multiple senses is so important. You did it with your eyes closed, and now I can't do it unless my eyes are closed. The last letter, yes, I'm being coached here because we're running out of time. It's what we're doing right now. It's called creative ideas. How do we use creativity to succeed in scripture memory? She closed her eyes. You know, I talk about in scripture memory, find some routine in your life that you capture, that you dedicate to scripture memory. Maybe it's when you take a shower, okay? When I'm in the shower, I'm going to quote my verses out loud. That's how I spend my time in the shower. Some people sing. You quote verses. I like, when I'm commuting alone, I like to talk them out loud. And it's so much fun. You go over it, and all of a sudden, you start developing even messages in your mind. I was driving to work one day, and I was quoting my verses. Now that everyone has cell phones, if people saw you talking out loud before cell phones, they thought you were nuts. Everyone talks out loud in their cars now because they've got a wireless or they're on. So I'm driving into work and I'm quoting my verses. I'm at a stoplight and I look to the right and it's one of my neighbors. And he's looking at me talking out loud and he kind of goes. I have yet to explain to him what I was doing, but for him it was curious. What's this guy all talking about as he's driving down the road? Yes, Jerry.
I do my reviewing, first reviewing, and I'm a health book on the treadmill. Mm-hmm. And that really, that's a time where I can always count on getting it in each week.
I'm not a consistent workout person. When I would do it, like when I would run, I don't particularly like running. So I'd memorize the verse about, you know, running with all you have, setting your eyes on Jesus. And that would give me the drive to keep running when I didn't feel like running. But I like to swim. I like to run. And then I would have a set of time set aside. And I would not think about the exercise. I would put my focus on reviewing the verses while I was doing it. Some people can't do that. That's like, I've got to focus on my exercise. I can't have my mind going that way. It depends. But it's just fun to think about. What's a routine in your life that you can capture and dedicate to your scripture memory and review?
That opportunity gives me a chance. Every once in a while, someone will say, what are you doing? And I'll tell them, and I'll say, oh, that's great. They're probably not even a Christian.
Yes.
One lady said, that's what I said, oh, that's wonderful.
I've run over, I've got to close with one story. You never know when scripture memory is going to come in handy. Back to college. I'm taking one of my core requirement courses. It's drama. I thought it was a gut course, and you have to take fine arts courses. It was a huge classroom with like 800 people in it. And there was a final paper. You had to pick any play you wanted to write about, read it, and write a paper about it. That was the only assignment. And I picked a play at the time called JB, which is about the book of Job. And so it happened to be a play about the book of Job. It was biblically based, and I'd written a paper. I went into the final exam. I'm sitting in this big hall, and I'm filling up, you know, taking the final exam. I handed my paper in late, so I thought maybe I would be in trouble for that. But in the middle of the exam, the professor stands up, and he says, when you're done, just drop your paper off on the stage, and it's been nice having you, and the semester's over. I need to see, he named two or three names. There's two or three people, students I need to see before you go. And he mentioned my name. And I thought, okay, maybe he didn't like my paper being late. So I went down, and I handed in my paper, and I said, I'm Peter Udall. I'm one of the names you read out. He goes, oh, Peter. He says, I got your paper. He says, it's okay, it was late. He says, the problem is your paper was a plagiarism. It was a word-for-word copy of another paper I've gotten. I'm giving you an F in the course, and you're going to be suspended from the university.
Wow.
And I was like dumbfounded because it was original work. But this was just an outright accusation. And so here's a room with 800 people, and people are coming and going as they finish the tests. But he says, you have 3 minutes, and I'm a hard man to convince. But I'm convinced you cheated. This is a word-for-word copy. I'm giving you an F, and I'm having you kicked out of the university. And I said, that paper was original work. I did not copy that. He said, I can't tell you why you think that it was. I said, there's no way that that was a word-for-word copy. And he goes, well, you got me there. That's right. It was in a concept-for-concept copy. You copied another person's paper, and you just changed a few words. It was concept-for-concept. It wasn't word-for-word. I said, I'm a Christian. I don't believe in that. Anybody will lie to cover their tail, he would say. So I was going on for about 2 minutes trying to explain, this is my work. I didn't cheat. And he's saying, I don't believe it. I don't believe it. You're lying. As I'm defending myself, students are turning in their paper, and a crowd is starting to gather around, listening to me to try to defend myself. One of my friends in the NAVS was in there, and he was in the class, and he came in to turn his paper. I said, I have a friend who can vouch for me. And Ron says, you got the wrong man. Pete wouldn't do that. The professor says, anyone will lie for a friend. I don't believe it. And then he goes, your time's about up. I'm not convinced. And so, in desperation, I reached into my pocket, and I pulled out my verse pack. And I said, what person who writes down Bible verses and carries them in his pocket would lie to you? And he goes, what? He goes, what? And when I made that comment, all these students that were gathered around, half of them go, what? You know, and they all just turned and walked away. They couldn't believe I was saying that. He goes, give me that. So he grabs my verse pack and he opens it up and he starts to look at it. And he threw it back at me. He goes, okay, I believe you. Just a funny story. But there's something about the Word of God. Even this atheist, arrogant professor who was falsely accusing me, who wouldn't believe my story, you know, I pulled out my verse pack and I said, you think I'm a liar, you think my friend's a liar, but what person would do this, would lie to you? And there's something about the Scriptures that have authority. And he believed me. And so, just a funny, excuse me, a funny story. But you never know when Scripture memory is going to come in handy. Yeah, carry your verse back. Carry your verse back. Yeah. Well, I've taken you over. I'm sorry. But I was supposed to save time for you to practice so you can go out there and get your coin. So, oh, I have up here, I've brought gifts for everybody. Why don't you come up and get them up? What I brought you is there's verse packs. I brought lots of Oklahoma orange. There's blank verse cards. There's a beginning with Christ pack. There's a changing your thought patterns. So please, I want you each to have each of those. What's that?
I get to hear the rest of that story.
What's the rest of the story?
Why do you think
you stole it? You know, the play consistently follows the book of Job. And throughout the play, it directly quotes passages. And when I wrote the paper, I chose to focus each paragraph on the passages of Scripture that were quoted. And all I can figure is some other believer must have done that at some point, too. You can choose any play you want to write on, so somebody else had chosen that play. And I can only hypothesize that they chose to focus on the Scripture passages that were quoted throughout the play and write it. And I can only guess that that was it. And it was so similar in pattern that he was convinced it was plagiarism.
And what school is it?
University of Connecticut.
Oh, I was at UConn.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
Yeah, I wouldn't have guessed that.
Yeah. I told that story one time in another workshop, and a person came up to me, and she and her roommate were in the same curriculum. It was graduate level, and they studied together, and when they took the final exam, they were sitting on opposite sides of the room. And afterwards, the professor called them up, and he said, if I hadn't seen you sitting on the opposite sides of the room where you had no ability to communicate, I would have charged you with plagiarism.
Because they got the same ones right.
Because the way they wrote and everything they did was so similar, even identical, but they had studied together. They were all on the same page. But he told him, I would have brought you up on charges if I hadn't physically been in the room, because I could see that it didn't take place. So I think it was something similar.